I can do it.
Hey, Chairman.
Thank you.
Present in the building is Chief Rodbell, Colonel Silver, Chief Kelly, and Captain Bischoff. On the phone or through Google Meets, if I could get you just to affirm that you're here, Mr. Ayler.
Present.
Sheriff Daniels.
Here. Good morning.
Good morning. Miss Kelly.
Here.
Good morning. Mr. Lefevre.
Present. Thank you.
Officer Medina.
Good morning. Present.
Miss Weiss. Miss Weiss, are you present? She was on a minute ago. Oh, there she is.
Her mic is muted.
Your mic is still muted, Miss Weiss, it appears.
Got it. I am here. Thank you.
Perfect. Thank you. Director Shin or Deputy Director Profiri?
Did you hear?
Thank you, sir. And then.
Thank you, Matt.
Sheriff Masher and Chris Pittman are both absent today.
Thank you, sir. Yeah, I'd like to take a moment and do a Pledge of Allegiance for those of us here and those at home. I want to pass the honor of leading the pledge to Colonel Silbert, who is the newly appointed Director of DPS, and I'm an honor to congratulate him for the first time today.
Thank you, sir. Yes, sir. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands. One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. And with that, I'll ask Matt, do you have any opening remarks?
Yep, I will go into my announcements. Again, we did who's here and who's not here. We have a couple of agenda changes, and I apologize, there's more than normal. In your consent agreement, the first case is Cody De La Fuente, 19-036. It was a consent agenda item. We're going to pull that off. The next one is in your final actions. It's final action number 7, involving Benjamin Huddleston. It's case 19-146. The compliance specialist wasn't able to be here today to present that case. We're going to move that till next month. We're also going to remove new case number 2, Matthew Sawyers, 19-220, for a future agenda. And then the last one is new case number 6, Pedro Aguilar Muniz, 19-110. Mr. Chairman, with that ends my announcements. I can move into my director's report if you'd like.
Please do. Thank you.
Just a couple things I want to touch base with the board on is budget. Our April, as you know, we lost our appropriated funding going into fiscal year 21 from the governor's budget based on the COVID-19 and the legislature ending early. It was considered a one-time fee, so therefore there was no one-time fees going into fiscal year 21 as of right now. So we lost just a little under $1.2 million from our budget in the upcoming fiscal year. Again, we've had some salary savings, some cost savings that we've instituted that we have a significant carryover of our CGF funds for fiscal year 21, so we should be able to keep the status quo and continue what we've been doing over the last 2 years. And our CGF funding for April, believe it or not, it exceeded our normal expectations. We expected it to start declining. But again, it was good. We do expect and anticipate that we will see a reduction in CGF funds moving forward for the next couple months at least. But as of right now, we're in really good financial position and going into fiscal year 21. Some staff and personnel, I just wanted to give you an update. Beginning this Monday, 2 days ago, we started bringing back our staff members. For the last 2 months, we've been working mostly teleworking. A few of us come in every day, but the majority of folks have been working from home. Beginning this week, we're bringing people back 50% of the week. So if you're on a 4-10 schedule, you'll work 2 days at home and 2 days in the office. And we're staggering it. Marie and Kip got together with their staff, and they have a staggered schedule. So we're minimizing the number of people that are in the office on a daily basis. And as things progress and as we get direction from the state, we'll probably look to bring everyone back probably sometime in June or July to a normal work schedule. But again, that'll just depend on what the direction is from the state.
Matt, what's your thoughts on the board coming back together?
My thought right now is to bring everybody back for the June meeting in person here. We do have SD Crane coming out next week, I believe. Mike Oroz has set that up, and they're going to look at those plexiglass partitions between each one of you just to get an idea of what it would cost, and then we can maximize our safety. But again, until we get an idea of the cost, that we're not guaranteed we're going to do that just yet. But we are looking out for your safety, sir.
Good, thank you. Thank you.
A couple other things. As you know, Paul Forshee was one of our attorneys through the Attorney General's office for a couple months. He left employment 2 months ago now, I think. They advertised for a new position. They have a couple of good applicants that I hope to be interviewing this week and next. And I'm hoping to have someone on board sometime in June so we can start pushing out cases again. Because, again, Mark is our in-house counsel, does some of our cases, but that second position is the one that does the bulk of our cases that go before an administrative law judge. And we've made really good progress in that area, and I don't want this vacancy to get us back to where we were. We had, you know, 2-3 year windows of cases. I'm sorry, Dan. A couple other things, training. I think I mentioned to some of you before, we did cancel our advanced leadership training that we had scheduled that was going to begin in May. We had an outside vendor after a little more consideration, and with COVID, we kind of put a halt on that. We right now are soliciting input from a couple different vendors on what they could bring here locally. We wanted to give it a local flavor. So again, we're working through ASU and then another vendor to provide us proposals on how that would look, because we really want to bring that back prior to the end of this calendar year, get that started. And hopefully we can actually even get it completed before the end of the calendar year. We've also, as you all know, in July, ACOP will be hosting their summit up in Flagstaff. Every year we provide a four-hour block of training. We have confirmed Dr. Kimberly Miller. She'll be presenting to the board on that Thursday. It's July 16th, a four-hour block from 8 to noon. The title is Becoming Extraordinary, Ways to Elevate Your Leadership and Inspire Those You Lead. For anyone who's ever seen her before, she's incredibly charismatic and dynamic and very well received. So I'm really looking forward to that training. I think it's going to be quality training for the participants that attend the summit this summer up in Flagstaff. And the last thing I wanted to update you on is, as last month we spent several hours going over potential rule changes regarding pre-employment drug use. Keep in mind, we're going to be requesting the board give us permission to make other rule changes that the staff and other people from the state have given us as feedback next month. I hope to come before you with all of our rule changes that we'd like to make, including the pre-employment drug usage rules. And then once I get your permission in your direction, then we can move forward with the process. Our consultant has been going back and forth. Kip has been working really hard, Marie and Steve Jacobs as well, on doing all the updates and going through with the fine-tune. It's very tedious work. I think they've done a phenomenal job. And our consultant has put together what we believe is probably our final edition that I think we got yesterday. Everyone in the office now is going to have an opportunity for the next week to look over it and make any suggestions. Because, again, sometimes you change a word, you change a paragraph, it has unintended consequences. So we're really making sure that we don't put in any rule changes that would have negative consequences on us. But I hope to come back to you next month and present that. Per Jeannie, our expert's timeline, it would look, if everything follows along, it would be the end of the year when it would be ultimately approved through GRC, which is the Government Regulation Council, I believe, from the state. And then it would go into effect a few months after that, actually be formalized. So, again, this is exciting. It's a lot of work to do. But, again, these are necessary changes, I think, that will make us be able to provide better level of service to our customers around the state. And with that, I end my director's report, but I'd be happy to answer any questions anyone might have.
I can just tell you from a personal point, I may have been on the board longer than anyone, at least in this room. We've been waiting a long time to proceed with some of these rule changes, so I'm looking forward to that. Thank you for bringing that to conclusion.
Absolutely.
Thank you, sir. If there are no other questions, anyone on the phone?
Mr. Chairman, I have a quick point, if I could. This is Andy.
Yes, sir.
Just to follow on with Matt's comments about CJEP revenue, I did get an update from the courts that for the month of March, limited jurisdiction court traffic filings had gone down by about 21%. For April, that number is over 65%. I think the April numbers that Matt's seen, we saw an interesting phenomenon that folks that received their stimulus checks were utilizing them to pay off traffic tickets, which is probably one of the reasons why the revenue was high. But I agree that we'll probably see some months of declined revenue that will hopefully get made up for at some point down the road. But that is a concern that we're watching as well. Thank you.
I can tell you from just one chief standpoint, I've asked my personnel to start re-engaging with the public. We're starting to see speeds increasing quite a bit. And whereas I don't like tying necessarily our budget to revenues as a result of holding people accountable, but we do need to start paying more attention on the roads and other places. We're just starting to see a little bit of that. People are happy to have nobody else on the road. They thought the roads were wide open, but now we've got more traffic on the roads and it's become more dangerous. I think even accidents were down for a while since there are so few cars on the roads. So at least from this one chief standpoint, we've asked personnel, and I think other chiefs have done as well, to start re-engaging with the public and start reeling some of that high speeds in. And Director, I don't know if you have any opinion on that or not.
Well, there's no question. We saw a drop in fatalities. We saw a drop in collisions. But I think even empirically, everybody could attest to the fact that the speeds were increasing dramatically on the freeways and whatnot and the roads just because the space has become wider and people have the ability to speed, particularly in what would be rush hour traffic and times that people tend to be running late. So especially when we were in that period of time in between when we were partially opening and not, it was even worse. But, there's been a benefit in the fact that we've seen less fatalities, and that's always a positive thing. But the speeds increased dramatically on the freeway, we noticed. So we kept our people engaged in proactive patrol. They never stopped, but we noticed the same thing.
Thank you. Anything else, Matt?
No, sir.
So the next item is a consent agenda, and I don't know if we need to amend it to exclude Officer Del Fonte in our motion.
If you would.
Okay. So I'm looking for a motion in regard to the consent agenda.
Mr. Chairman, this is Andy. I move that we accept the consent agenda as amended.
I have a motion.
Chief Kelly, second.
Chief Kelly seconds the motion. Any questions or comments? Hearing none, all those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say nay. And you do not need a roll call vote.
No, sir.
Okay. Thank you very much, everybody.
Mr. Chairman, if I could just remind all the board members, because we're not going to do a roll call for our final actions. However, if someone is a nay vote, please make sure you're heard. And we will take a little extra time in between the two votes just to make sure that we don't miss anybody.
Okay, thank you, sir. That brings us to final action cases, the first one being 18-067, Gabriel Giraro and Mark Brockdahl.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. Good morning. This is Mark Brockdahl with the Attorney General's Office. I'll be presenting on behalf of Post. Because of that, we have an independent advisor here and present who can answer your legal questions if you have any during each case. The first case is Gabriel Guerrera. In front of you is a recommended decision from the administrative law judge. A hearing was held on February 12, 2020. The assistant attorney general who presented the case at hearing no longer works for my office. That's why I'm presenting to the board today. The case involves Gabriel Guerrera, who was terminated by the Globe Police Department after serving 19 years with his agency. Post received a termination report in March 2018. The board voted to initiate a complaint. The notice of hearing charged Officer Guerrera with one act of dishonesty during an interview by a Globe Police Department internal affairs investigator. If you'd like, in your board packet is a copy of the judge's decision, and at paragraph number 19, page 11, is the specific allegation which the board initiated on. The hearing was conducted. The respondent presented the testimony of a Globe Police Department commander, and the respondent presented the testimony of the current Globe Police Department police chief, Dale Waters. They both testified, and so did Officer Guerrero. Post, the state of Arizona presented its own testimony. The judge, in her recommended decision, found that the respondent had undermined the Globe's underlying investigation in this matter. The fact finder, the judge, concluded that the state had not met its burden under either A8 or A12, and the judge's analysis begins in paragraph 6 through paragraph 11 in the decision. The judge concluded that Officer Guerrero was not dishonest during the investigation. Post staff recommends that the board adopt the ALJ's findings of fact and conclusions of law and close this case with no action. I'm available for questions.
I move to accept the administrative law judge's findings of facts and conclusions of law. Close this case with no action.
Mark Hamill, second.
I have a motion and a second. Any questions or comments?
Mr. Chair, this is Paul Ayler. I need to recuse myself.
So noted. Further comments or questions? Those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed, aye.
Those opposed say nay. Motion carries. That brings us to case number 19-186. I'm going to recuse myself, and Chief Kelly is going to assume the role of acting.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is a case involving William Abbiati. Post-staff and William Abbiati, through his attorney, offer to the board the consent agreement, which is attached to your board packet for your review and consideration. The respondent, William Abbiati, was a police sergeant with the Mesa Police Department at the time of this incident. He has since retired with the Mesa Police Department. I will refer you to the consent agreement for some of the background of the facts, which I will share with you. On May 16, 2018, Mesa police officers responded to a call of an armed robbery in progress involving a sawed-off shotgun at a Circle K. Sergeant Abbiati responded to the armed robbery call. He arrived, and he was the acting supervisor of the incident at the scene. The suspects in the armed robbery included a juvenile male and a juvenile female who were located after fleeing to an apartment complex. The male juvenile was arrested and handcuffed. Two of the Mesa officers on scene used pain compliance techniques after the suspect was arrested and handcuffed. As the acting supervisor, Sergeant Abbiati was present during the arrest but was not present during the search of the suspect juvenile that occurred by the patrol vehicles. However, and I will refer the board members to paragraph number 6. The parties are stipulating in this consent agreement that Sergeant Abbiati failed to properly oversee and supervise the incident. And specifically, Sergeant Abbiati also failed in his supervisor responsibilities to properly review the applications of force for the subsequent internal use of force report. And again, still in paragraph number 6, Sergeant Abbiati failed to see and supervise the incident. And specifically, Sergeant Abbiati also failed in his supervisor responsibilities to properly review the applications of force for the subsequent internal use of force report. And again, still in paragraph number 6, Sergeant Abbiati failed to receive supervised the incident. I proceed? Okay, thank you. Referring the board and the board members to paragraph number 9, the Mesa Police Department sustained allegations of unsatisfactory performance for his failure to properly supervise. Sergeant Abiati retired with the Mesa Police Department on August 1st, 2019. Before he retired, he served a suspension time, an agency suspension time, of 60 hours. And the dates are in the consent agreement. The parties have met and conferred through counsel. The parties agree that the board may impose a 60-hour suspension of Respondent Abiati's certification on the dates March 18th, 2019 to March 28th, 2019. I am available for questions. And I also believe that counsel for Mr. Abiati is available for questions as well.
Chief Kelly, is there any additional questions? Hearing none, have a motion?
Move to accept the consent agreement for a 60-hour suspension of peace officer certification beginning March 18, 2019 and ending March 28, 2019.
John Bischoff, second. Second. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Hearing none. Passed.
Thank you, Chief Kelly. That brings us to case 19212. Elena G. Carrillo and Mr. Brockto, you're still on.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. Ms. Carrillo, and post staff offer to the board the attached consent agreement for your review and consideration. The respondent is a former police detective with the City of Yuma Police Department. And I'll turn you to the case summary, the first page. I'm just going to highlight some of the points of it. On September 3rd, 2019, while on duty, former City of Yuma Police Detective Ms. Carrillo drove her unmarked department vehicle to a neighborhood where she suspected she might find her husband. While searching in the neighborhood, she located her husband's vehicle in front of the residence. Both Ms. Carrillo and her husband were at the time Yuma police officers. Ms. Carrillo went to the door of the residence. Her husband answered the door, and during the initial exchange, Ms. Carrillo flailed her arms, knocked the sunglasses off of her husband's face. A criminal case was submitted to the City of Yuma Prosecutor's Office, but conflicted out. Eventually, no charges were filed. Prosecution was declined. Subsequently, Ms. Carrillo resigned from the City of Yuma Police Departments. Attached is a proposed consent agreement, and looking at page 2, paragraph number 3, the parties offer to the board a 6-month suspension of peace officer certification beginning November 18th, 2019 and ending May 18th, 2020. I'm available for questions.
Questions from Mr. Brockle? Hearing none, Chair will entertain a motion.
This is Mark Downs. I make a motion to accept the consent agreement decision and order as outlined to include the 6-month suspension from November 18, 2019 to May 18, 2020.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Also. Any other further conversation or comments or concerns or questions? Hearing none, all those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed say no or nay. Motion carries. Thank you. Brings us case 19-221, Logan T. Klontz. Mr. Brockdell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The parties, post staff, and respondent, Mr. Klontz, offer the attached consent agreement for the board's review and consideration. Logan Klontz is a deputy. He is currently employed as a deputy with the Greenlee County Sheriff's Office. I will summarize the case. On November 22, 2019, Deputy Klontz participated in a pre-employment polygraph examination with the Graham County Sheriff's Office. So he was a deputy with Greenlee County. He was applying with another agency. And during the hiring process, he disclosed engaging in one sexual act while on duty during 2018. Deputy Klontz participated in an internal investigation with the Greenlee County and admitted to the conduct. His employer issued a letter of reprimand, and he continues to be employed with Greenlee County to this day. Referring you to the attached consent agreement. On page 2, paragraph number 5, the parties agree that the board may impose a 3-month suspension of Deputy Klontz's peace officer certification. The suspension is effective at the time the board signs its order. And is signed by the executive director on behalf of the board. And just to add, the One Sex Act, which occurred in 2018, was while the deputy was on duty but at his residence with his significant other. I believe that the deputy may be on the phone, and he actually wanted to address the board. So that is available as well if he's there. But I'm still available for any questions, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. First, we'll start with any questions for Mr. Brockdahl.
Mr. Chairman, this is Paul Ehler. Mark, is this consistent with other types of discipline that we've had in other factually similar circumstances?
Mr. Ehler, Mark Brockdahl, the answer is yes. Although there is no arithmetic formula for these kind of cases, under these circumstances, with the one incident, under the circumstances at hand, a 3-month suspension is consistent. And in fact, when we did a deep dive in preparing for today's hearing, we did a deep dive, and there are varying suspension terms issued for similar conduct, however, with more frequency. This is a case where we've had only one incident. It's unique in that regard.
Any other questions for Mr. Brockdahl? Okay, Deputy Klontz, are you on the phone?
Yes, sir, I am.
Would you like to address the board?
I would, please, sir. Thank you.
I'll give you 3 minutes, okay?
Good morning, board members. Thank you for the opportunity and time to let me speak to you. My name is Logan Klontz. I've been a deputy for Greenlee County for almost 2 years. The past 2 years, it has been some of the most challenging, rewarding, and fun things. For those 2 years, I have learned to love this career, one that I ever thought was possible. But the last 6 months of it, it has been difficult. November of last year, I tried to lateral over to Graham County Sheriff's Office to work. During the hiring process, I took a polygraph, but the time was with my girlfriend. That's why I'm here now. Firstly, I would like to apologize to all of you for myself and that momentary lapse of weakness and poor judgment. One I'm not proud of. One mistake I have not and will never make again. During this investigation, it made me realize even more how much this career means to me. Not only off the job, but often. Not only on the job, but off it as well. It's a career I truly respect, cherish, honor, and very proud to be a part of. I think I'm paid, bears not only myself, but my agency, all the men and women. That I am very sorry. In this investigation, I have been honest. I've done whatever I can. It has been hard, not only for me, but for my wife as well. Ever since I have worked for Greenlee County, I have had to spend half the week away from my wife and my family. For a little while, we did not know if or when I was going to come. Greenlee's last 6 months, been trying to save up money to pay for whatever. And at the end of March, COVID-19 came into play. Lost our secondary income. My wife's work hours were cut in 1/3 of what she needed. At this point, we didn't think it could get much worse. It did. In the middle of April, I was exposed to COVID-19 and had to be quarantined. My wife as well. During that time, I had to use up most of my sick leave cover for the time I missed. Being away from this job in just that short of time made me miss it more than I thought I would. It's not been an easy 6 months. I've been under investigation with Arizona Post. I've embarrassed and let down my own agency. I've received a letter of reprimand. I do not see my wife for days at a time. I'm not working for the agency I wanted to work for. This has been a tough and long learned experience, one that I needed. I have learned from it. I am truly sorry for what I did. I believe I am a good deputy. Last year I was awarded Deputy of the Year. All the time and effort I put into my career so far. I have passion for this career. I learned from my mistakes. I am truly grateful for this job and all it has taught me. That is why I'm asking for the board members to consider taking no action. I feel I have learned from this. I have paid for my mistake. I have signed 3-month consent agreements with my certification. I'm willing to do whatever the board members ask me. Members, thank you for your time. Any questions for me?
Mr. Klontz, I have a couple questions, if you don't mind. Mr. Klontz, can you hear me?
Yes, sir, I can.
Okay. I have a couple questions, and I apologize if they appear personal. You may not know the reason why I'm asking the question, but the board will. Your status at the time that the act occurred, were you on the radio, available for service, or had you called out?
Sir, I was code 7 at my house for lunch.
Okay. That's what that means. Code 7 means lunch in your lingo?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And the second question is the status of the woman you were with. Were you married at the time? Was this your wife? Was this your fiance? Who was this woman?
She was my fiance.
This was your fiance and you were living together?
No, she came over for the weekend. She lives in Graham County, and I live in Greenlee County.
Okay. Again, I apologize for the personalness of the nature, but other questions. But it may all make sense to the board. Any other questions from anybody else?
Members of the board, this is Jean Galvin, your independent legal advisor. During Mr. Klontz's explanation, he said that he wishes the board to take no action. He did sign a consent agreement consenting to a 3-month suspension of his license. So I think we need to get that clarified on the record. Is he withdrawing from the consent agreement?
Mr. Klontz, did you hear the question from counsel?
She broke up a little. I'm sorry.
So just, and correct me if I'm wrong in my addressing this, it appears as though your request, you are removing yourself from the consent agreement that you previously agreed to. Are you removing that consent agreement?
Yes, sir.
What does that mean to us?
Can Mr. Chairman, can I clarify, Gene, if you're okay with that? I think, again, the deputy, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think he's saying he would prefer the board to take no action on this case. However, if they do take action, he would agree to a consent agreement of 3 months or two.
Mr. Klontz, is that correct?
Yes, sir. I was asking board members to consider taking no action, but if board members...
Okay.
...had a 3-month suspension, I'm willing to take it.
Okay. I thank you very much for clarifying. We're good with that. So I'm going to ask the board if anybody has any questions of you, sir.
Yeah, to ask a question in general. I don't know if it's to him.
Okay.
Because of...
Go ahead,
Colonel. I accused myself from another case that's coming from the same jurisdiction. But my question is, in this case, to Mr. Klontz, was he aware that being at his residence during his Code 7, that being intimate with his fiancée was a violation of policy. Was he aware that that was a violation of policy with the Greenlee County Sheriff's Department, or was he not aware of that?
Mr. Klotz, did you hear the question?
Yes, sir, I did. Honestly, I was not thinking about it. My camera go off. Can you guys still hear me?
Yes, sir.
I'm sorry. Honestly, I did not know it was against policy. But I didn't guess.
Mark.
I understood what he said. I don't think, and Mr. Klontz, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but it appears he said that you were not aware that it was a specific violation of departmental policy. Is that correct?
Yes, sir, that is correct.
Okay. But he disclosed it during a polygraph and an examination for the Graham County Sheriff's Department. So we have two similar cases like this. And in one case, we have this young man facing a 3-month suspension. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Certification.
If you accept the...
If we were to accept this?
It's into it.
So, and I have to recuse myself from the other one. But these, rarely do we see a case like this. But these are juxtaposed.
Okay.
So my question is, are we consistent?
We don't know yet because we haven't done anything yet. The second case.
That's the difference.
So, any further discussion on that point, and then we can maybe answer that later, but in terms of consistency.
I have a further discussion. This is Mark Brachtel again. As the advocate for the file, I'm aware of the background of the file. And in the consent agreement itself, it's clear that his employer, his agency, did discipline him for that action. He received a letter of reprimand. So it was within the policy of that agency to discipline that kind of conduct, which was misconduct. So I, the advocate's position, my position is that if he wasn't aware of it that day, it's in his policy, and therefore he's responsible to be aware of that.
Okay, but let me ask you.
Mr. Chairman, this is Paul Ehler. I guess I just had a question for other board members. I'm not real familiar with Code 7. It just seems to me that the penalty or the punishment here is kind of severe given the factual circumstances. And I don't know what Code 7 means. I don't know if that means they're available for duty or maybe someone could clarify that for me.
So, Paul, this is the chair. Typically, agency, while police officers are at lunch, they are still on duty. Is probably the best way to explain that. So this would be technically letter of the law, a violation of on duty behavior. The issue is that should the board be interested, because this is about the board interest, this isn't about the department interest, it's about the board interest. Should we be interested in terms of his certification for this activity while called out of service? And participating in this kind of activity, I would anticipate officers have lots of reasons to take their belts off during the course of the day, and they probably have to get redressed to get back to work. So the question is this, does the board have an interest in this? The department took action, and now what's our interest regarding this young man or any other person in the circumstances? Given the exact same circumstances, with a significant other in their home on a code that says they're out of service. And those are the two cases and the similarities of the two cases. So does the board have interest in these kinds of cases? And this came to us as a result of audits. So literally there were audits done on files. And the best of my knowledge in both cases, similarity, the people had admitted to it on a polygraph, dealt with it, and it's old history. It's not something that was just discovered. And so the question for us is, does the board have an interest in this with regard to certification of police officer status? I have an opinion, but I want to hear everybody else's.
This is Jamie Kelly.
Yes, go ahead, please.
My biggest point of concern in regards to these cases comes down to truthfulness. And if this deputy was truthful in the entire proceeding, there was no questions of untruthfulness pre or posterity, then I think this is a longer process than necessary. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else care to comment? Chief Kelly? I'm sorry, I recognize Chief Kelly first.
The only question I have on this, and sorry for Mark, this was self-disclosed, right?
That is correct, Chief.
I guess I'd just like to go on record saying this. I think there is a factor of totality of circumstances involved in these cases because we get sex-on-duty cases that are egregious and have different circumstances. This is, I think this becomes a factor here. This young man was forthcoming with it, states he didn't know that it was a policy violation of his agency. And I think that totality of the circumstance somewhat mitigates the situation. Had he been hired, he was not. Was this the reason, deputy, that you didn't get hired by Graham County?
Yes, sir, it is.
Okay. So, had he been hired by Graham County and this had precluded him, he would not have gotten discipline from his previous department. I'd say that for a reason, but. Point being, I think it's a totality of circumstances issue.
Thank you, sir. I had someone else answering up on the phone. I didn't know who it was.
Mr. Chair, Sheriff Mark Daniels, I look at the totality of and merit of each one of these circumstances, and based on everything we know in this case, and again, I don't condone this kind of behavior in normal settings, but there has to be some discretion back to the department agency head. The agency had took discipline on this officer, and based on the totality and being the significant other to the deputy, I think this should be handled within the agency.
So, Mark, would it be appropriate, or is an appropriate action for the board to? Oh, sorry, not accept the consent agreement and then offer a different. Resolution, if that's the board's decision, does it work that way?
Yes, you could offer different resolution or vote.
Okay, so as a board chair, I'll entertain a motion.
Chair Mark, I'll make a motion to reject the consent agreement. No action taken.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of motion signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed say nay. Thank you. Motion carries. Thank you, Mr. Klontz. Best of luck to you in the future, sir.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it, board members. Have a good day.
You too, sir. And that brings us to case number 19021, Sean D. Harrelson. Mr. Rothwell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Sean Harrelson and post staff offer the attached consent agreement for the board's review and consideration. The respondent is a former deputy with the Graham County Sheriff's Office. I'm referring you to the proposed consent agreement. I'll just start at paragraph number 2. In June of 2017, respondent Harrelson, while off duty, chest bumped or belly bumped, which is pushing with his stomach his wife during an argument in their house. His wife was not injured. She then waited about a year until 2018 to report the incident. The two have since divorced. And I'm just continuing with paragraph number 3, just to highlight. There were other incidences which the respondent disclosed. In another incident which occurred prior to 2014, he admitted to punching two holes in a wall and a hole in a door of their family home during an argument. None of these reported incidences resulted in criminal prosecution. Respondent Harrelson resigned from the Graham County Sheriff's Office in December of 2018. referring you to the last page of the proposed consent agreement, paragraph 3. The parties have met and discussed and agree that the board may impose an 18-month suspension of certification beginning December 21st, 2018, and ending June 22nd, 2020. I am available for questions.
Questions for Mr. Brochtel?
Mr. Wise.
Go ahead, please.
Mark, so I'm trying to balance the suggested remedy in this matter versus the earlier one with the, I believe it was a detective or an officer that drove her unmarked car to a home while she was on duty. And I believe that was a 6-month suspension. Why is this one, and no one for sure condemns domestic violence, why is this one such a stronger penalty that's being suggested?
Yes, Ms. White, this is Mark Brochtel. Because of the other incidences which occurred in the household, and the ones that are highlighted in the consent agreement are the ones that Mr. Harrelson disclosed. And therefore, since he admitted to them, they're added to the consent agreement. But this was there was a fair amount of turmoil in the family. We've only highlighted what can be proved at this point. And I think that is what distinguishes the Carrillo matter with this kind of a case. And that is the reason for the 18-month suspension, which does include time served.
Thank you.
Any further questions? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, this is Paul Ehler. I'll make a motion that we accept the consent agreement for an 18-month suspension of peace officer certification beginning on December 21st, 2018 and ending on June 22nd, 2020.
I have a motion. Do I have a second?
Don Bishop, a second.
A motion and a second. Any further questions or conversation? Hearing none, all those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed say nay. Motion carries. Thank you, sir. Brings us case 19-185, Leslie D. Warren, Mr. Brochtel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the board. The parties, Leslie Warren and post staff, submit to you a proposed consent agreement for your review and your consideration. Mr. Warren is a former sergeant with the Pine Top Lakeside Police Department. The consent agreement describes two incidences which occurred the same night on the same shift on January 4th, 2019, and I will highlight those for the board. And I'm referring to the consent agreement. I'll be starting at paragraph number 2, which is the first page. During a night shift on January 4th, 2019, Pine Top Lakeside PD experienced simultaneous calls for service which involved groups of juveniles. Pine Top Lakeside decided to upstaff, and so respondent who was off duty was called in to assist. Respondent, who was a sergeant at the time, reported in uniform to headquarters where he assisted with the booking of several juveniles. So we got called in from home, came into work, dressed out, reported to the jail. While at police headquarters, and I'm looking at paragraph number 3, respondent was escorting a juvenile prisoner into the booking room. The prisoner was handcuffed, 16 years old, compliant. The prisoner's hands were handcuffed behind his back. Respondent was escorting the prisoner when respondent pushed him into a wall. It was a shove or a push. No injuries occurred. But this was an unreasonable use of physical force. That's incident number 1. Continuing on in paragraph number 4, next respondent was dispatched to assist officers who located an occupied stolen vehicle. One of the occupants in the stolen car was a 13-year-old. After assisting another officer with taking the juvenile occupants into custody, respondent was overheard making the 13-year-old was overheard making a disparaging remark. The 13-year-old male, whose hands were handcuffed behind his back, became agitated and vocal. Respondent reacted by grabbing the 13-year-old male by the hair on the back of his head and shoved or dropped him to the ground. This was an unreasonable use of physical force. This would be incident number 2. The respondent successfully appealed his termination from his agency on procedural grounds, but eventually he actually resigned in lieu of termination, effective September 9th, 2019. The parties have had discussions in this case, and they agree and submit to the board that the board may impose a 2-year suspension of certification beginning July 1st, 2019 and ending July 1st, 2021 inclusive. And I am available for questions.
Questions for Mr. Rochtel? Hearing none, the chair will entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, Don Bischoff, I move to accept the consent agreement for a 2-year suspension of peace officer certification beginning July 1, 2019, ending July 1, 2021.
Have a motion. Do I have a second?
Tom Kelly, second.
Have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say nay. The motion carries. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Brockwell. Thank you very much. That brings us to case number 19-222, George B. Mann, Ms. Faust.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the board. As you stated, this is 2019-222, Mr. George Mann, who is not currently employed by a law enforcement agency. This final action case is referenced a denial of certification to be a peace officer. On July 27th of 2019, Mr. Mann participated in a pre-employment polygraph with the Maricopa County Sheriff's Office in an attempt to be hired as a police recruit. After failing the polygraph, he admitted that he had intentionally withheld information. Mr. Mann advised the polygraph examiner that he had viewed 2 nude photographs that were sent to him while he was previously employed by Sunsplash. These photographs were sent by a cellular phone, and he stated he went to the workplace restroom to view the pictures. He then admitted that he took a picture of his genitalia while in the restroom and sent it back to the same recipient via cell phone. Mr. Mann advised the polygraph examiner that he had intentionally withheld this information during the polygraph because he was embarrassed. He was then disqualified from the Sheriff's Office employment process for integrity concerns. About 5 months later, he was in the employment process with the Mesa Police Department. Mr. Mann was asked about the previous disclosure of receiving the 2 nude photographs at work and sending the nude photograph back. The Mesa Police Department background investigator had already obtained this information from MCSO. Mr. Mann then admitted to the Mesa Police Department that he had received the 2 nude photographs, but he denied saying that he had ever sent a nude photograph back. Arizona Post investigators obtained the transcript from the polygraph examination with the Sheriff's Office. In the transcripts, Mr. Mann did acknowledge that he had intentionally withheld that he had received the 2 nude photographs because he was embarrassed. He also stated that he did send a picture of his genitalia back to the female. On December 5th of 2019, Mr. Mann was contacted by Arizona Post and asked about the inconsistencies. He stated that he was willfully untruthful during his attempt to obtain peace officer certification with the 2 agencies. His behavior tends to disrupt, diminish, or otherwise jeopardize the law enforcement profession. On February 19th, Mr. Chairman, the board voted to initiate proceedings. Mr. Mann signed for the certified complaint letter on March 2nd, and he has not been in contact with Arizona Post to notify of his desire for a hearing. Telephonic contact was made with Mr. Mann on April 13th. However, the call was terminated prematurely by Mr. Mann. Research by your Arizona Post staff has been conducted, and in past fact-based similar circumstances, your staff recommends to the board that they deny peace officer certification. Are there any questions that I can answer for anyone?
Any questions from Ms. Faust? Hearing none, I entertain a motion.
Yeah, Mark Annals, I make a motion to accept the findings of fact, conclusion of law, and impose the sanction of peace officer denial.
Don Bischoff, second.
I have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed say nay. Motion carries. Thank you. This is case 19-196, Ryan D. Fuller. Mr. Jacobs.
Yes, Mr. Chair, members of the board. This case involves a former Pima County Sheriff's Deputy, Ryan D. Fuller, who during the month of August of 2019, while off duty, frequented a local retail store where security video captured this person using the self-checkout of the, where he would cover the barcode of an item he was purchasing. He would cover it up and use the barcode of a Kool-Aid package to alter the price of the item being charged. This went on, that he was captured at least on four occasions of this happening. Deputy Fuller became aware that the method he used to commit the thefts became knowledge to the department and had been reported to the police, and began using his Spielman to track the criminal investigation, which is being done by another police department. On October 21st of 2019, he discovered that his identity had been made known, and he turned himself into law enforcement. He was arrested for fraudulent schemes and organized retail theft, but as of this date, whether a charging decision has been made from the county attorney is not known. Officer Fuller was noticed of the complaint, signed for it on March 5th, 2020, and to date has not made contact with the post or staff. Based on research regarding similar facts and circumstances, staff recommends the board revoke the certification of Officer Fuller. Are there any questions?
Does anyone have any questions for Mr. Jacobs? Hearing none, the board will entertain a motion.
This is Paul Ayler. I'll make a motion that we accept the findings of fact, conclusions of law, and impose a sanction of revocation of police officer certification.
Second. And it would be by second.
The board has a motion and a second. Any further conversation? Questions? Hearing none, all those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
All those opposed say nay. Motion carries. Thank you, Mr. Jacobs.
Thank you.
This brings us to case 19-211, Aaron S. Goodrich, Mr. DePark.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. This case was initially presented to the board on February 19, 2020, at which time the board voted to initiate proceedings. To recap this matter, on October 11, 2019, while off duty, Officer Goodrich committed theft by intentionally drinking an alcoholic beverage belonging to another patron without permission at the Red Moon Ale House in Yuma, Arizona. This resulted in the issuance of a criminal complaint for theft, a Class 1 misdemeanor. On October 25, 2019, while off duty and on paid administrative leave concerning the theft case, Goodrich was stopped for traffic violations in Yuma, Arizona. As a result of the driving behaviors by Goodrich, a criminal complaint was issued charging him with exhibition of speed, a Class 1 misdemeanor, and reckless driving, a Class 2 misdemeanor. On October 31, 2019, in a post-Garrity administrative investigation interview, Goodrich was untruthful about his consumption of alcohol prior to being stopped for the traffic violations on October 25, 2019. On November 8, 2019, Goodrich's employment with the Yuma Police Department was terminated. On January 27, 2020, Goodrich pled guilty to one count of reckless driving, and the other criminal charges were dismissed. On February 28, 2020, a certified letter of complaint was mailed to Mr. Goodrich. The letter was accepted and signed for by another individual. I conducted a computerized telephone number search for Mr. Goodrich. I called and left a message at the number that was believed to be his, but have received no response. Mr. Goodrich has not requested a hearing nor contacted post staff at any point throughout this investigation. Research by Arizona Post staff was conducted in similar fact-based circumstances, and staff recommends that you revoke certification. And I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Does the board have any questions? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion.
Make a motion to accept the findings of fact and accept the recommendation to revoke certification.
Tom Kelly, second.
I have a motion and a second. Chief Kelly, if you can hear. And any further discussion? All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed say nay. Motion carries. Thank you, sir. Brings us to case number 19-214, Elijah J. Fazio.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. It's good to see all of you, virtually, physically. This first case is Elijah DeFazio, who used to be a deputy with the Coconino County Sheriff's Office. Just a real quick bio on Elijah DeFazio. He was a police officer out of state and then wavered back over here to Arizona. Might have went to the academy, but he became certified in Arizona, I believe in Pinal County, and then over here at Coconino County. Actually, it was Florence PD. I believe when he was at Florence PD, he was a member of a HIDTA task force, a drug task force. So he's a deputy now. At this time, he's a deputy at Coconino County Sheriff's Office. When on August 22nd of last year, 2019, he orders online a substance, a product called Mimosa. I'm going to get this right. Mimosa hostilis root bark. So the root bark, I'll just refer to as root bark, contains a dangerous drug in Arizona. It's also a Schedule I controlled substance through the DEA federally. It's dimethyltryptamine, DMT. I got that right. So I'm going to call that DMT. So DMT is a dangerous drug in Arizona. So he orders this online through Ecuador, and it's routed through, it's from Ecuador, its source, and it's routed through the Netherlands. The Netherlands then ships it to San Francisco Port Authority. On August 22nd of 2019, the U.S. Customs and Border Protection agents that seized it field tested positive there, and turned it over to the Homeland Security Investigation agents who brought it to their Flagstaff field office. They had determined that it was ordered from DeFazio out of Park, Arizona, where he has a P.O. box. It wasn't his residence. It was his personal P.O. box, post office box, DeFazio's. So they brought it to Flagstaff, where that's where they determined it was the actual deputy that he worked for Coconino County Sheriff's Office. They contacted Sheriff Driscoll there at the Sheriff's Office. The sheriff decided to initiate an investigation. So HSI, the Homeland Security investigators, brought it into the Sheriff's Office in August, and they decided to sit down and talk to the deputy. So they had an interview with Deputy DeFazio, asked him about it. He admitted to it. He said, yeah, I know it contains DMT. I've had training in that. I know the red bark has the DMT in it. I've had training in it. I've actually had a case. It involved frogs, actually, because you can get DMT off of frogs as well. And he said, I didn't think it was illegal to actually order the substance that contained it because I'm going to use it to extract red dye. It's this kind of a red dye that you can get out of that, which looks like that is true. And he was going to use that, he said, to dye Indian beads. So even though you can extract red dye, it's still an illegal substance to possess in the U.S. and Arizona specifically, both felonies. So basically what he's telling the investigators is, yeah, I ordered it, but I didn't think it was illegal, and I was not going to use it for illegal purposes, that I have a hobby with Native American things, and I make belts and beads and that types of things. So they said, can we go look at your computer? Can take us to your house? There was no search warrant, so they brought him. He brought him over voluntarily. The investigators, both the sheriff's office and the federal investigators, and they didn't really find anything on the computer. He did have Indian artifacts and some things that he had made, and that was that. So fast forward, they went ahead and did a criminal investigation. They conflicted it out to the Flagstaff PD, who did the criminal investigation, submitted that information to Coconino County Attorney's Office, who conflicted it out to Mojave County Attorney's Office, and where he was actually indicted later on for two felony counts. One, transportation of a dangerous drug because of the actual importation of it and causing it to be transferred and transported, and then attempt possession because what they did was they didn't do a controlled delivery. They intercepted it. They did not allow it to go to his P.O. box, so he never actually possessed it. He just attempted to by ordering it. He did ask for a civil service hearing to appeal his termination. However, he never did have one. I think he asked for continuances, and they finally said no. So at this point, that's where it rests in the criminal court that he's been indicted on two felony counts, but he is now unemployed. Any questions on that?
Mr. Chair, I have one question. In the document you have, he said he was charged with untruthfulness?
Two felony counts. One, the first one is an attempt possession of a dangerous drug for sale. The second count is transportation of dangerous drugs for sale. The first count, I believe, is a class 4. I'm going by memory now. The second one is a class 2. They're both felonies.
But to the chief's point, somewhere in the transcript it talks about Post-Garrity, he did not tell the truth.
So Post-Garrity, I didn't make that allegation. It is in the notes. Post-Garrity, there were some conflicting statements. In his first two interviews in August, they requested the receipt from him, the receipt of the actual BART. Now, he had already said that he had ordered it, but they wanted to see the receipt. He said, I can't give it to you. I wiped my phone, my cellular phone, and my home computer clean, and I can't access it. The third interview he had in October with the sheriff himself, he actually produced that receipt. And the receipt showed when he had purchased it, August 22nd, and that it had been printed between the second interview and the sheriff's interview.
Thank you.
So he was actually, they determined that he was being untruthful.
Thank you. Any further questions? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion.
Sheriff Mark Donaldson, initiate proceedings. Paul Wheeler, I'll second.
Motion is second. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. All opposed, say nay. Motion carries. Thank you. Next case is 19-231 Clinton D. Swick. This next case?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. I need to recuse myself.
Clinton Swick was a detective with the Phoenix Police Department. On October 9th of 2019, the Phoenix PD determined that Detective Swick had violated department policies by posting 13 Facebook photos between June 9th and August 21st of 2015. It wasn't until later in 2019 that this came to light through an organization that researched this and found these various Facebook media postings by police officers around the country from eight different agencies. One of those agencies happened to be Phoenix PD, some of the officers that posted some of these Facebook postings. So when they looked at these, there were 13 specific Facebook postings that they found that Detective Swick had posted that included comments promoting violence against certain segments of society, negative racial overtones on certain things, and anti-Muslim sentiment. The Phoenix PD determined that violated policy and it brought discredit upon the department. There were several media outlets here locally subsequently that carried that, so the local interest became a detriment for Phoenix PD, and they determined that that was unacceptable. When they interviewed Detective Swick, he said, yeah, I did post those things. I don't have any personal professional animus or bias against any of these segments or individuals. These are just personal things that I put in there that were meant to, for family and friends and for other officers through a private chat. He didn't realize that it could be publicly seen, I guess, is what he was trying to get at. He made some other comments that showed up on his Facebook when they started looking at this, and they were all in that same genre of racial overtones, anti-Muslim sentiment, and Phoenix PD decided to terminate his employment. He appealed that and lost it. I did a quick check on his work history. He had no history of discipline or any misconduct prior to the 2015 incident, nor after that. It wasn't until 2019 that they actually saw that this happened years before that. He retired after 29 years. He said that he never had any complaints about his policing, about his enforcement in terms of any kind of racial bias or any other thing, and that seems to be the case from what I could find. So basically, on this type, I researched it, and the similar fact-based circumstances and cases that I've seen that are similar to this, and there are some in there, we recommend that you initiate proceedings.
Any questions? Hearing none, do I have a motion?
Mr. Chair, I'll make a motion to initiate proceedings.
Don Bischoff, second.
I have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay.
Motion Mr. Chair. Chairman, this is Andy. This is Lefevre. I vote nay.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Lefevre. Motion carries. That brings us to case 19-092, Michael A. Fairborn. Ms. Heckel.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. Arlene Heckel, one of your compliance specialists. Officer Fairburn was employed by the Gila River Police Department from October 2010 to July 2019. On June 17, 2019, Ms. LR contacted the Gila River Police Department and advised she knew of some misconduct by Mr. Fairburn. During her interview, Ms. LR advised she had met Officer Fairburn about 2 years prior. She was a clerk at a convenience store in the area that he worked. They became friends, and she began to meet him while he was on duty and bring him food for his breaks. They would meet in several different isolated locations in his patrol area. He was always in full uniform and driving his marked patrol car. On January 9th, 2018, during one of these lunch meetings, the relationship went to a new level, and they ended up having sexual intercourse and oral sex in her vehicle while he was in full uniform. After that, she would meet Officer Fairburn 1 to 2 times per week, where they would engage in sexual contact or oral sexual contact. It was always while he was on duty in full uniform, but the activity would always occur in her vehicle in these isolated locations. Ms. LR estimated this occurred about 40 times in the time period from January 2018 until the last time on May 29, 2019, when they again had sexual intercourse. Ms. LR had numerous text messages between them talking about the encounters. Overall, there was about 3,000 text messages between the two of them. On June 20th, 2019, Officer Fairburn was interviewed. He first said that they were just friends and denied any other type of involvement until confronted with all of the text messages. He then admitted he had a sexual relationship with Ms. LR but could not remember dates or how many times. He estimated it could have occurred about 20 times while he was on duty in uniform. Gila River Police Department sustained allegations for misconduct of sex on duty and untruthfulness. He resigned on July 10th, 2019. And I can answer and other fact-based cases like this. The board has initiated proceedings. I can answer any questions.
Any questions? Okay, hearing none, I'll entertain a motion.
Make a motion to initiate proceedings.
Bischoff, second.
I have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, say nay. Motion carries. That brings us to our next case, Dobbin J. Rooks.
I recuse myself in this case.
Okay. Thank you, so noted. Case number 20-047.
Yes, members of the board. Trooper Rooks was formerly employed by the Greenlee County Sheriff's Office from July 2017 to February 2020. He applied to work with the Department of Public Safety and was hired in February of 2020. While doing an audit on his hiring file for DPS, post staff found that Trooper Rooks admitted to going home for lunch in June of 2018 while he was on duty in a marked patrol vehicle and in his full uniform. While he checked off for his lunch, he engaged in sex with his wife. He later found out this was against department policy and never engaged in this activity again. Trooper Rooks was upfront with this information during his entire hiring process with DPS, including the polygraph, and he is currently employed there. Due to the recent board voting, I would vote that, or I would ask that the board take no action on this case, and I would be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions from the board?
Excuse me, Mark Brechtel. Just checking, did any of the board members recuse themselves?
Yes.
Oh, thank you.
After that short break, we're back. any questions from members of the board? Hearing none, I will entertain a motion.
Mr. Chair, Mr. Wise.
Yes, please.
I move that the board take no action in this matter.
Tom Kelly, second.
I have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of the motion signify by saying yay.
Aye.
Yeah, whatever. Opposed, see what you want. Just answer up. All those opposed say nay. Motion carries. And that concludes our cases and future agenda items.
Nothing for us, sir, unless the board has something they'd like us to explore.
Any board member have any issues that to bring up for a future agenda item? Hearing none, we adjourn. Thank you very much, sir. Thank you, everybody. Thanks, staff. Thanks, folks.
Thank you, everybody.